I just love getting unfiltered and unfettered. And now, here's Tony and Fran.
And from the Monolith Studio 1B, this is Unfiltered and Unfettered, the podcast, coming at you with UFUF 75. 74, I'm sorry. This is your co-host, who does know what show it is, Tony the Bully Opinionist, along with my friend, an Italian who is not afraid to steal your water, the Pope of the podcast, Sir Francis One Kistering. Hey. Fran, good evening.
Good evening. I know you want to get to the holiday episode, but we're at 74.
I'm excited.
I know you are. I know you're ready to get to the ho-ho-palooza or whatever we're calling it.
Okay, I jumped the gun a little bit, but...
Every day's a Super Bowl, baby. 74. We got to put our effort on 74.
I'm ready to give this everything I have.
All right.
And we have some shiznit coming up tonight.
Okay.
We have Senate reports. We have congressional testimony. We have a new bit of Francis, 91 seconds of sports.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to move our sports into a bit where we will pontificate on our opinions. We've got a very, very special Oh No You Didn't tonight that is just going to be hysterical.
I can't wait for that.
So we got a lot of stuff coming up. Very contentious week in politics with some of the things going on, and we will get to those in good time. So let's get started.
Okay, boys, let's get started. Give me both barrels and shotgun that news.
Okay, Fran, going to start off tonight with a little royalty visit of Will and Kate, the Wills and the Duchess.
The British are coming, baby. Load your musket.
Go to a basketball game, and King James makes an egregious, what would you call it, custom error?
I would call it anything. That's what they're
touching
calling
the royalty.
I don't have a problem with it.
You're not supposed to touch the royalty.
Right, not touch them.
Apparently nobody told them he was the king.
Right.
It's King James.
Like, what do they say? Real recognize real? I mean, he's a king.
He throws his big, black, sweaty arm over the Duchess's shoulders, and they go crazy in England.
Clearly was enjoying the whole event. She didn't have a problem with it. But, you know, this was as ridiculous as it was when the First Lady did it. Didn't she touch the Queen when they visited?
Yes.
You know, come on.
Somebody just needs to tell these people, like... when you go to America, you know, we are always held to everybody else's customary standards.
Right, right.
Somebody needs to start saying, like, when you go to America, here's the deal.
We're huggers.
They're probably going to touch you. Okay, you need to get over it.
Yeah.
Especially when they're,
and look,
you know, big basketball sports stars, you know.
Currently the greatest basketball player in the game. They're back, what would essentially amount to being backstage.
Yeah,
to see
right.
Him.
And he's giving her,
and
gonna give him some gifts and
taken,
stuff like that.
A picture's
that's
being taken.
Op.
He gets in the photo op. What exactly do they expect is going to happen? She didn't have a problem with it. Prince William didn't have a problem. They were having a big old time. They need to lighten up, man. It's the reason why they're no longer in charge of this country.
Well, somebody else needs to tell them that. Yeah. Okay, next. Okay, the Senate Committee released the CIA report, the torture report, it's being called, this week. Huge controversial issue. I could probably make a whole show out of this.
Oh, yeah.
You could as well. It's a hot topic today. I don't know, Fran, you want to offer up your thoughts first?
I mean, I think we both have our own individual opinions about certain things, but I think at the end of the day, I think we kind of all knew this was the case, and as you were fond of saying, in the context of what was going on,
right? Right. It was in the context of 9/11. 3,000 of our citizens were murdered.
I'm having a hard time having a problem with it. I guess I'm having a hard time finding a problem with it.
I mean, and you know, we talked a little bit earlier before we started the podcast. The report was released. You know, 525-page report excerpted from a 3,000-page report, apparently. I'm going to tell you, I got through about half of it today. not reading the references, just reading the report. You know, were there excesses? Yeah, probably. When you start talking about CIA and black ops operations and black ops sites, if you go back to some of the things that happened in Central America during the Noriega regime, Operation Yellow Fruit, some of these things, there were excesses there.
I was there. yeah, there was.
it's not surprising. On the other hand, you know, they're arguing back and forth about whether some of the ops that were discovered through the enhanced interrogation techniques, or did they already know that information? The thing that gets lost in that discussion to me is the ops they're talking about being discovered were operations to murder large numbers of American citizens.
Right. Well, which is what we all feared was going to happen on September 12th, right?
Yeah.
Was the continuation of this. Here's the only thing I would say. We had several speakers at the senior academy when Tim and I were there, who were involved in the rebuilding of Iraq and had some experience with some of this, they all said to a person, they never really gleaned anything from these enhanced techniques, because what they found was that eventually these guys would just say anything to make you stop. So they would give up names, like the one guy they waterboarded 86 times. What he was telling you on the 80th time was wildly different than he was telling you the fifth time. He's just saying stuff to get you to stop. So their feeling was there were better ways to get information, and these techniques really weren't working. That is not a judgment on the morality of the whole situation and whether or not America should or shouldn't be doing it. That's just the bare facts of whether or not it's effective. I think what's being argued now, or at least what it feels like, is the morality of it. You know what I mean? Like the... Should we be doing that? Should we be engaging it? Was it wrong to do it?
Well, again, I think it's one of those things that if you want to take it out of the context of 9/11, then you would say, yeah, that was wrong. It was immoral. But given that context,
well, is it though? I mean, is it wrong taken out of the context of 9/11?
I don't know. You know, I was raised, Fran. You know what my dad told me when I was a kid? Like, look, stay out of fights, avoid trouble. But if you get in one, don't think about whether it's right or wrong to pick up a brick and hit a kid in the face with if you got to do that to protect yourself. And that's kind of and I'm not an ends necessarily justify the means, because I think that logic can be a road to inhumanity. But these people, you know, what angers me is the people that say, well, we're no better than they are. Well, first of all, who's they?
Well, that's right.
Are we talking about the French or the Belgium? No, we're talking about Islamic terrorists. And yeah, we are better than they are. And if you don't think so, it's because you don't pay attention to the world, or you don't understand what's going on.
I don't care enough to figure out what's happening.
The very fact that we released this report and we're having this conversation says that we're better than they are.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah, that's a nonsensical
argument. Where excess is made, maybe. We can debate that. But it was in response to an egregious act of murdering 3,000 of our fellow countrymen. And you know, I know you and I, Francis, and I don't want to exclude the average American. I remember what that felt like, and that was hard to get over. I don't know that I'm over it today or that I'll ever be over it in terms of the effect it had to my psyche. But, you know, that was a life-changing event.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so to just dismiss that in terms of that event, I think is wrong. And
well, I think this comparison business, or does this make us like that? I think that's just a nonsensical argument. There's no...
Well, I agree. Yeah.
There's no basis for that discussion. There really isn't. I mean, there's no logical basis for that. I mean, they're cutting off heads. I mean, our curriculum at the academy changed from using the code of conduct to survive as a POW to... Your only chance at survival if you're captured is to make them believe you're a person. If you can humanize yourself to your captor, you may, in capital letters, may keep your head. If you cannot, they're going to cut your head off.
Yeah.
That was the change in curriculum in the military after September 11th, because the rules changed.
Well, because it went from if you're captured by another Geneva Convention following country to if you're captured by... what would be termed an illegal combatant or somebody that holds no standards.
A rogue faction is what we refer to them as, rogue nations, rogue states. So I don't buy into that argument at all. The issue, I think, that you brought up that we talked about quite a bit before is somebody, do we trust the people to find the line after the event? You know what I mean? Like, so in the context of September 11th, as people are fond of bringing up, you know, we did it after World War II. We just watched
right.
Dennis Miller essentially steal your whole argument and use it on the air.
Right. About the argument Fran's referring to about incarcerating American citizens of Japanese descent after Pearl Harbor.
And he politicized that by making it clear that FDR was the god of liberals at the time.
Right.
Which is, again, that's just stupid. But and I forgot where I was going with that, but it was somewhere important, I'm sure. It's just...
Well, in today's world, that's part of what the problem is now, is that there's no, in my opinion, there's no logical road through this because it's overridden by politics. Those on the left say this was torture. These people need to be...
Not just on the left. That's incorrect. There are plenty of people on the right saying
that. There are people on the right saying that. But I'm just trying to demonstrate the differences of saying there are people that say this was torture, these people need to be punished, and this, and there are people on the right, like Cheney, who are saying, I mean, I saw Cheney today in an interview, and they asked him if he read the report. He said, I didn't need to read the report. I was there.
Yeah.
We did what we had to do at the time, and I would do it all over again. So there's...
Right,
there's,
well, that's where I was going.
There's some middle ground that says there were excesses made, and...
Was it necessary at the time? The question is, do we trust the powers that be to get back across the line when those excesses are no longer necessary? Do we trust the people to know when the excesses are no longer necessary? Or does this become standard operating procedure? You know what I mean? Like, as you say, I mean, it could quickly...
Yeah, I don't think it does. But on the other hand, we could make the argument that Brennan, who ran the CIA during this time... is the director of the CIA today through 6 years of the Obama administration and look, I'm not faulting them. I'm just pointing this out. Who has said we don't torture, by the way, has used drones to just bomb people. So, you know, where do you draw that line? And who do you say, how do you do one thing and say somebody else was wrong? I mean, so I think a lot of this is just political.
Yeah, but I mean, I mean, attacking targets is the same as torture? I don't follow that.
Well, it's like saying, we don't torture people. We just kill them.
Right. Well, I mean, if
torture is wrong, right? So we don't torture people. We're just going to drop bombs on their head and kill innocents.
But that argument, then we shouldn't have a military. I mean, that doesn't make sense.
I'm not saying it's a rational argument. Yeah. I'm saying that's the argument that's being presented in saying... Like, if you got to point the finger, you got to look at what your administration is doing as well. And so to say, well, we did this and that was wrong, but I'm doing this and this is not wrong, what's going to happen in the next administration? Are they going to look back at the drone procedure and say the same thing?
No, I think you're looking at what's going to be the standard to take out high-level targets. You know, instead of sending in troops, you're seeing the next style of... warfare by the American military is this drones, you know, is this drone strike, because it's effective. I mean, they're clearly they're proving that it's effective.
Killing people is effective.
It's effective in that it doesn't cost American lives. Effective, which is really the ultimate bottom line, right? So, I think you're going to see this is going to become standard procedure if it isn't already. You know, so I mean, is that the argument for the torture? Is that going to become standard procedure?
Yeah, but I mean, when you make the morality argument, then you know.
But the only problem with that is if you start doing that, and that's what I was saying, you know, it feels like this is being argued at a morality level, which doesn't make sense to me. But if you start doing that, well, then you have to question everything you've ever done as a military, you know, as a government, as a military. I mean, then what's the... You know what I mean? Why would you do any of it then? You know, why would you go to war in 2003? And why would you stay in Afghanistan? And why would you open up Gitmo? You know what I mean, if you start saying...
Well, I mean, I kind of agree with you.
Yeah,
I'm just
yeah.
saying these are the arguments that are out there that yeah. are being made.
Well, I think they're ridiculous. I mean, I mean, the one thing I would go wholeheartedly with you is there's no way to argue this on a morality level. There just isn't. There's massive loss of life. People were responsible. Answers needed to be had to avoid more loss of life. And I think if we ever found out exactly how many of these things were thwarted, I think we would be shocked at what they did find out, how many operations they shut down. You know, if you're going to apply morality, that's nothing. You shouldn't do anything. You just be out of the business. I mean, there's just no way that you could argue this, that you could argue any kind of, you know, moral grounds on this. It's just a waste of time.
Yeah. Sometimes the sheep just need to let the shepherd do what they need to do.
Well, I think this goes back to the, as silly as this connection is going to sound, you can't be transparent. You know what I mean? It's just a dumb thing to say. It's just a dumb thing to say that we're going to be the administration of transparency. Because there are some things you should, as a government that has to be done to maintain a country that is free and as large as this one is, there are things that have to be done. You know, Nathan Jessup was right when he's being questioned by Tom Cruise. You know what I mean? You don't want to know
Absolutely.
What's going on that wall.
Just go to your parties. Just go home, watch your 180 channels on satellite
TV.
Put your green tea in your Keurig and shut up.
Right.
You know, there's a part of that I agree
with. There's a measure of that that's true.
Now, in our society, I believe there has to be an open discussion of what's right and what's wrong. But you got to realize there are things that are going to go on that you are not going to know about.
Right.
And
that's
a necessity.
Right.
We're in agreement because we're two old retired guys. But there's a lot of people that wouldn't agree with us.
Oh, but, I guarantee you that. Yeah. But I mean, I was never on board with this. We're going to be the most transparent administration in the history.
Right. Sure.
Even though they clearly are not. But why would you make that claim? You can't.
If we've said they're pretty transparent, but not in the way they think.
Right. Right. I mean, but you just can't be. And these are some of the reasons why. Because now you have the citizenry questioning,
right, your methods,
and you can't have that. You can't function like that. You just can't.
And that's the point I was making before: is the next administration going to question the methods of this administration in terms of protecting the country from terrorism?
Yeah.
At some point, you got to go. Wait a minute.
Right. You either got to decide we're going to be totally free and no, you know, what happens will happen, or you got to have a measure of this, and that's just.
Like to say in my business, sometimes you just don't need to see how the sausage gets made.
Right, right.
That's it. All right, next. All right, so one of the countries that have come out, Fran, the CIA had, I don't know, it was 6 or 7 black sites. Like I say, I've read the report. They had quite a few black sites.
Yeah.
Black sites means you don't know where they are.
Right, secret prisons.
One of them was in Poland. The Polish have come out and said, we had one here.
The former
we
president,
told,
not even
we
the
told
current.
Bush that at some point in time he needed to get rid of it, which Bush did, but he come out and he said, we hosted one of these sites.
Yeah, this isn't even
which,
the current...
honestly, if you watch the movie... what's the movie I'm always talking about?
Zero Dark Thirty?
Zero Dark Thirty. It's in the movie.
Yeah. I don't know what that means, but all right.
Minsk, you know, they have a subtitle that says, like, Minsk, Poland or something like that. It's in the movie.
I think Minsk is in Russia, but all
right. All right, you're right, smartass. But I mean, they have a subtitle that's in Poland. When you're watching the movie, I'm thinking to myself, did they really know that was there, or are they just making that up?
Yeah,
apparently they knew.
They knew. You know, the funny thing here, it wasn't even the current administration in Poland. It's the former president saying, we had a prison. had a CIA prison.
Yep.
That took a lot of the news space today. Like, when that came up, that started to dominate my Twitter feed. You know, you could almost tell what was happening by what was going on with your Twitter feed if you follow a lot of reporters and political analysts and stuff. And that became a very grave concern for a lot of people. Like, we had these prisons in these foreign countries. And
We did.
Yeah.
So Poland, America, thanks you.
The question is, I wonder how many more are going to pop up. You know, are going to come out and say.
Well, every time they report, you know, they have them blacked out.
Yeah.
So they have,
right.
You know,
but what countries are going to come clean and say, we had one.
Yeah, we had one. So Poland, thank you. And by the way, you women are beautiful. They are. They are gorgeous. All right, next. Francis, on the day the administration was trying to show their transparency by releasing the torture report. Mm-hmm. Their boy Gruber was testifying to
Herr Congress. Gruber testifying. So this is the guy who was the so-called architect of the Obamacare or the ACA, who then was on film bragging about how he tweaked this thing to get it past the idiotic American public.
Stupid American voters.
Yeah. This was all a waste of money and time, in my opinion. I mean, there was nothing going to be said here that we didn't know already. Everyone knows this is how bills get passed all the time. This is the first guy to come out and just say the truth. You know what I mean? To just tell the truth about, this is how we do it. This is what I had to do. This is what they asked me to do, and this is what I did. And he even said, I'm not a political person. When they asked me, I just did it. And when I said that, which he then claimed he didn't remember saying, like as you brought up, I just said what I did. So what he's implying there is, I'm not a politician. I just told the truth.
Right.
You know, that's so I thought that was kind of funny, you know. But so other than that, there was no major.
There was not. I just wish he would have sacked up and said, look. Because he said, oh, I didn't remember saying that. You know, and then he kind of apologized.
I mean, he's only supposed to see the clip 8 million times. How could he not remember that? You know, that?
And then he kind of apologized, which is the non-apology, right? You're not really sorry. You're just sorry you got caught.
Which was dumb anyway, because he opened up by saying, you know, I just doing what I was told. This is what, you know. Yeah. Well, then what are you apologizing for?
He should have just said, you know what? The average American voter is not paying attention. They don't really give a damn. And that's why I said that, and that's the truth. I would have had more respect for them. You know, this is a guy that I would have beat up in high school, I think.
That list is long. But he kind of said that in a way. He said, when he was talking about his hubris and his arrogance, and he was saying, look, those things don't make this a bad bill. He also said, I was in a room of intellects, of educated people. And I thought that was... That said more than what he thought it said. Because that is a running theme in this administration. You and I have highlighted this every time.
Yes.
When we get what people refer to as the explainer in chief goes on the stump for something he's trying to do, and he says, no, you didn't understand. Let me explain it again. This is a part of that. I was in a room of educated people who could understand it. So you people didn't really, you can't understand
it. If you were as smart as me, you would have understood this.
Right.
But you're not.
Like the people in the room understood because they were smart people.
Right.
And this is a theme that pervades that entire administration. Not just people who work, who are in the administration, but people who work for them on the side. I mean, even have this air of, well, if you were smart, you'd understand that this is good for you, and we know that it's good for you, and you just don't know that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And this is the problem when you look behind the curtain, much like with the CIA report. You just don't want to know how the sausage is made. And the problem is what other people don't want to admit is this is how most of the sausage is made, not just the ACA. It just so happens this guy got caught on film bragging about it. That's really the only difference.
Well, I imagine he'll get subpoenaed at some point in time.
Wasn't he not read his rights then?
I don't think so.
Okay. All
right. As a matter of fact, I think they told him you're going to get subpoenaed later.
Okay.
I might have missed that quote, but yeah.
Well, so if he wasn't under oath, then yeah.
This is not going to be his last time in front of Congress,
I'm
guessing.
Which, again, what's this, you know.
Yeah. With the new Congress coming in, we'll see what eventually does or does not come of this. I don't know. All right, next. All right, Fran, you want to talk about Tom Brady?
Yeah, I don't know if you like him, but this makes him go up a peg in my book. You know, he's much like Tiger Woods, there's a lot more cameras on him and guys like Peyton Manning and stuff when they're playing the game on Sunday. And so he gets caught a lot more yelling at his teammates or whatever, or his coaches. And last game, I guess they were struggling, and he got caught dropping the F-bomb a few times. And so he got asked about it.
Many times, I
guess. Yeah, which is no different than anyone at their sideline on any other Sunday at any other game. But it's Tom Brady, so we're going to hear about it. So I thought his answers to it were fantastic. He didn't give us the old dodge and the old, you know, professional athlete speak like we're going to hear in the Oh No You Didn't segment. He said what he thought. He said, look, I yell. People need to get over that. I yell on the sideline. I happen to like the F word. I think it's a valuable word. I think
he said something like, no other word expresses the way I feel better than that word, or something like that.
Right. So these guys are damned if they do, damned if they don't, right? They give us the stock answers. We're like, oh, we always get in the same, why do they even ask these guys? Then when they answer questions honestly, then we jump all over them like, oh, what a jerk. Well, people, tonight's the night we're looking behind the curtain in a lot of different places, and apparently we don't like what we see. So this is the way it is on NFL sidelines. Quarterbacks aren't, you know, this ain't Rudy. You know what I mean? Like, these guys yell, they curse, they talk about your mom if you're not catching the ball when they hit you in the hands with it. That's the way it goes.
Well, I mean, I'll admit it's not a word that I frequently use, but...
Oh,
cool. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I thought it was a non-story,
you probably
too.
Used that word more during the last Cleveland Browns game.
What do they think these people are saying down there?
Right.
This is funny.
But
know,
the uproar is just unbelievable. I know.
Yeah. That's kind of silly. All right, Tom. Clean it up, buddy. Next. All right, Francis. Take your Michelle Bachmann shot.
I know you love this woman. I don't understand why. But
I don't particularly care.
Michelle Bachmann, Congresswoman from
I don't have her bobblehead.
Minnesota. She's out. She's done giving her farewell speech. Thanks, Moses, in the process.
I think she thanked the pilgrims too.
Did she?
I think she invoked the pilgrims.
My eyes start glazing over, so I missed a lot of it.
Thanked Moses, invoked Moses, mentioned Moses.
She may have invoked pilgrims. She did some other things to pilgrims too, but she thanked Moses.
It was, from what I understand, it was just her and the cleaning guy.
Well, right. I mean, yeah. That's the other thing. You need to watch C-SPAN 2 and 3 because those are the cameras that are on the Senate and the House.
Now, let's just clear something up. You don't need to watch C-SPAN.
No.
Fran watches C-SPAN.
My point being that when you see the clips on the news, because the news media, no matter who it is, they crop the picture.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So all you see is the person at the podium. What you can't see is there's no one in the room when most of these speeches are going on.
There's one guy in the back with a mop bucket going, hey, lady, are you
and
done?
And a trash can on wheels, right? Pushing it. Right. There's no... Because they're not required to be there unless they're asked there for a voting session.
Right.
So rarely do you get, unless it's a serious debate like the ACA or the drone issue where Rand Paul did that filibuster, where you're going to see the chamber with any people in it.
Yeah.
So she's just up there going on and on about it. Then, of course, there was a lineup of on Fox of all the congressmen and women, you know, say, oh, you know, we valued her leadership. I'm like, valued her leadership. Really? Valued her leadership. That's what you're going to get up there and say? I mean, come on. Give us the Tom Brady, man. Tell us that you freaking hated her. Because you did.
Poor Michelle.
Her and Moses off Michelle, to the sunset.
Michelle, we'll miss your leadership, Michelle.
Oh, we will, sure.
Go back to Minnesota.
Run for president, please, right. God. For the love of Moses, run for president.
Just for the comedic effect. Yeah. All right, let's go to our new bit, 91 Seconds of Sports. All right, friend, 91 Seconds of Sports. The college football playoffs, I'm just going to give you my spiel on it.
Okay.
My boys are in.
I know where you were going, yeah.
My Buckeyes are in. I'm glad. They pulled down Wisconsin's panties and spanked that little behind.
Wow. Yeah.
I will tell you that Saturday morning, my boys watched a game with me. I said, look, fellas, the only way we're getting in is if we beat Wisconsin 50-0, and that ain't going to happen. Yeah. Right?
It didn't. They won 59-0.
Here's what I want to say. Look, I'm glad my guys are in, though. I'm glad my guys are in. I hope they respect themselves against Alabama. But here's what I got to say. Here's what I don't get about the selection process, which I think is suspicious. The committee the week prior puts TCU at number 3, mm-hmm. Florida State at number 4. So then the final rankings puts Florida State at number 3 and Ohio State at number 4, puts TCU behind Baylor at 6.
Yeah.
There's no logic there.
No.
The logic would have been to bump Florida State and put Ohio State at 4, because nothing changed other than Ohio State had a convincing victory against Wisconsin.
Well, no. Well, that part I can answer for you. The reason that TCU and Baylor didn't make it because they didn't have a final game.
They didn't have... Right.
So there's an extra win.
They didn't have a conference championship.
There's a championship game there, and that's what kept... I would agree that I would put Ohio State above Florida State, but I would have kept Florida State in. They're the reigning national champions, and they're undefeated. You can't keep them out of the playoff.
Yeah. Well, okay. So listen to my point, though. But the week before, you put you have 3 1-loss teams in front of Florida State.
Yeah.
So you've already established that you'll put a 1-loss team in front of Florida State, but your reason for leaving them in the playoffs is they're the undefeated, unbeaten national championships, which I agree with. Mm. But what you should have done is left Florida State at number 3 to begin with, and then you just flip Ohio State and TCU, and it doesn't. Then it's a logical process.
Yeah.
The way they did it, it was very illogical.
I would agree with that, but in the final standings, I don't agree with your lineup. I'd have had Ohio State at 3 and Florida State at 4. Because Florida State beat Florida, and then I don't even know who they played in the conference championship. Who did they play?
Well, I mean, I'm okay with that. All I'm saying is the final ranking in the prior week's ranking just was illogical.
Well, that's true. But really, if you went back through the last 6 weeks, it was a ridiculous situation. Because you had TCU looking like, for all the world, they were going to be in it, and Baylor not. But
sure.
Baylor beat TCU head up.
Sure.
So... That didn't make any sense at all, and I think they succumbed.
And then
to
the final week, you took Baylor from number 3 and put him to number 6, or I mean TCU. I'm sorry, at number 3 and dropped him to number 6 behind Baylor.
Right, and the logic for that was they said, well, because Baylor won head to head.
But
the last 4 weeks, that's not how they had.
That's
it.
What I'm saying.
Right? No, I'm agreeing with that.
They created their own problems.
Yeah, absolutely did. And you know, and they'll smooth this out. I think that. It's, you know, it's the first run through. I think they got the right 4 teams. I was surprised they put Ohio State in. I think Ohio State should have been in. I just thought, as I told your son, I didn't think they had the stones to do it. Because that was an epic beatdown.
That was a beatdown.
Of a very good team.
And I'm going to tell you.
They're the only ones who played a very good team in their conference championship. And they crushed them.
And I'm going to tell you, we have a couple loyal listeners that I know are Wisconsin fans. You know, got a lot of respect for you. Got a lot of respect for Wisconsin. I thought it was going to be 20-17, 21-17.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was going to be
coming.
Wisconsin, even when they're bad, always plays Ohio State tough. That's always a tough game. I never envisioned. No. Of course, we were going crazy, but
the freshman, like on your third quarterback, Ohio State on their third quarterback
on his first start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what everyone was saying the week before, that there was no way the committee would put them in because they got this untested freshman. They're not going to put them in. But once they laid that beat down on Wisconsin, how do you keep them out?
Actually, I think he's a sophomore. But regardless, it's his first start.
And he's the third stringer. I mean, he's the third stringer. So, yeah, that's right. He's not a freshman. You're right. So, how would you have kept them out? I don't know how you would have. I can't see how they're going to stay out. And so
they put them in.
And again, I would have... I mean, Florida's schedule is not great, but if they, at the beginning of the season, if I'm on the committee and my mind is already made up in the room, I said, fellas, if they go undefeated, they got to be in.
I agree.
But I would have had them at 4 because they played a lot of weak teams and they had to come from behind in fourth quarter in a lot of those games. Whereas Ohio State, Alabama, when they won going away.
I mean, unless you're looking at specific matchups, in the final analysis, all that matters is do you get into the 4?
Right. Well, that's true. That's true.
So,
but now we see, though, that seeding does matter because Ohio State drew Alabama.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's...
Oregon's tough, too. I mean, I would rather see, if I was going to play anybody, I'd pick Florida State.
Right.
But, you know, yeah. Anyways.
So, I mean, I think they got the right 4 teams. I think, I agree, the road to get there was bizarre.
Yes.
And I think they saved themselves by putting Ohio State in because they left them out. Then I think it would have been an invalid, just because of the strength of their schedule and the way they beat the ranked teams that they played. I mean, that has to matter to me.
Yeah.
And I'm an Ohio State fan. I went to Maryland. So,
right.
But that clearly was, you know, just an epic beatdown.
Well, I'm happy as a Buckeye fan. And
Wisconsin got huge. Their coach quit today.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's going to Oregon State.
Yeah.
That's like
that makes no sense.
Like, Belima just left to go to Arkansas.
I understand that more than going to Oregon State.
Yeah.
What?
Well, because the Oregon State guy got hired by Nebraska. That's why that job was open.
But you leave Wisconsin?
Yeah, I don't get that.
Oregon State? I don't understand that.
Nope. So Barry Alvarez is coming down from his AD position to coach again in the bowl game. So,
yes. And Johnny Football is getting his first start this Sunday. Cincinnati coach called him a midget.
Did you see that Cleveland they sent a midget to do the press conference?
That's beautiful.
There's been some great trolling going on in football. Who's the guy who coaches the Rams? What used to coach the
Jeff Fisher.
Jeff Fisher
sends out the five guys.
Said he got for the RG3 trade to the beautiful. Washington coin toss.
That's beautiful.
That's classic.
That's something. All right, my friends, and that's 91 Seconds of Sports. Please don't time it.
Let's get hardcore.
Friend, we've had a big changeover in the Senate, and, frankly...
The numbers don't look good.
They don't look good.
Mary Landrieu lost her runoff election a couple days ago.
Poor Mary.
Yeah.
Michelle can spend some time together.
Calling her Miss Piggy.
And a little lemonade.
I heard some of her interviews on Louisiana radio, some different political stations down there. XM is fantastic. Not as good as C-SPAN, but it's close. She's brutal. Like, I can't believe that she's had multiple terms as senator down there.
Long-time senator, right?
She's brutal. I mean, she's nasty. She's uninformed. I mean, it's bad. Like, she's just angry. I guess because she knew her ship was sinking, I guess. I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe she's just having a bad month. So she lost. The significance of that really isn't big on the Senate in general. It doesn't give them a supermajority. It just adds one more to the number of seats that they picked up. But she's the final senator, Democratic senator from the South. There are no Southern Democrats in the Senate. That's kind of big.
Yeah.
There's several scathing articles written to our favorite Democratic Party chairman there, Wasserman Schultz, telling her, you know what, right off the South. Forget those mouth-breathing rednecks, those racist homophobes. I mean, it just went on and on. And they're all angry over this Mary Landrieu loss. And I'm thinking, do you guys... I mean, I just listened to five interviews from her on live radio in Louisiana. And you all think that was worthy of a Senate seat? Like, it's Google that, a couple of those. And just pick one and listen to a five-minute interview she does on the radio. Trying to win over voters. This is all before the election. I mean, it's brutal. She is brutal. And yet everyone's thinking, oh, my God, what's going on in the South? How can they not like this one? Yeah, so she was the last Southern Democrat. And even a bigger number, and this is something that, you know, we talked about so much, the effect Obamacare is having on the health system is still being fleshed out.
Debated.
The effect that it's having on the Senate is that half of the senators, Democratic senators who voted for it, have lost re-election. That's not good. That's right. If you're one of those Democratic senators. So 30 of the 60 who voted for it lost their seats. That's huge. I mean, that's huge. And that goes a long way to figuring out why the Republicans picked up the majority in the Senate. I mean, it was the health care bill. And the funny thing is, we talked about that prior to the election, the midterm election, that the White House sent out a little missive out to their people, said, look, if you got to bash the president and bash Obamacare to keep your seat, do it. Because saving those seats was better than saving face over Obamacare. And they didn't manage to pull it off. So half of the people who voted for Obamacare lost their jobs because of that vote.
And so we were talking about this a little bit off the podcast. It doesn't fare well for the continuance of Obamacare as it exists now.
Oh, I would agree. I think they're gonna have to alter it. I would. Our own Senator Bob Corker, who's a money guy, a Republican, said there's just no way to repeal it. Not financially, it's not worthy. It's a reason our governor, Republican Governor Bill Haslam, said we're not joining the lawsuit. It's frivolous. It's a waste of money. We're not doing that. But Corker and others have said there are ways to alter it to make it beneficial for everybody. Because as a lot of people say, there's a lot of good stuff in there. And there's some really bad stuff in there. And we got to figure out a way to cut some of that out. And so I agree with you. It's not when the next administration comes in, Obamacare won't be as it is today. They'll have cut it up. And quite frankly, the current president has altered it in ways that no one ever expected by delaying several parts of the bill. Something, by the way, he's being taken to task for the Supreme Court as we sit here. So, I would say that we're not going to see Obamacare look the way it looks now. in maybe not even next year. It may not take a new president. The new Senate and Congress may be able to alter it enough to make it palatable to everybody, or at least to the most people.
All right. We'll see what happens. Democrats are in trouble in the South.
The death boat. The death boat for Obamacare.
Yeah. All right. Let's do some culture clash. Okay, Fran, just a couple things for the culture clash tonight. We haven't done this for a while. First, North Korea is angry over this song, over this movie, The Interview, with Seth Rogen and James Franco about their attempt. Apparently, they're talk show hosts, and the leader of North Korea likes their show, so he's going to go interview them. And the CIA, buddy thing, recruits them to try to assassinate the leader of North Korea.
Yeah.
They're angry about this. About one of our favorite characters, Fran, Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, they're going to assassinate Kim. You know, we were talking about this. I don't. This movie looks like it's going to be a stinker, but the couple of clips that they're showing are pretty funny.
I'm going to go see it just because.
You come back and do a UF report on that.
Kim Jong-un, I will. Just because Kim Jong-un is such a favorite topic of discussion on our show. actually, he's going to be on our UF Christmas list, which we'll have coming up. Second thing we want to talk about.
Tease there.
Yes. Second thing we want to talk about in Culture Clash is SNL spoofs Star Wars, Francis, and it's pretty hysterical.
Yeah, it is. It's probably the funniest thing they've done in a year because that show sucks. But holy cow, they make a trailer of, you know, the new trailer came out and it showcased all the new characters. They made a trailer using all the old characters, Luke, Leia, and Han Solo, and Chewie. Oh man, it's a scream. It is funny.
It is. They show Princess Leia poking R2-D2. It's just like she can't set the VCR.
Yeah. And he's just got the VCR clock blinking on his screen. And she pulls out her reading glasses. That's pretty funny.
So all those things trump any disrespect I've ever had for Star Wars. My son texted me last week and said, "Don't disrespect the franchise."
Did you disrespect the franchise?
Apparently I have. On this podcast. So,
well, we were talking about the trailer. I don't remember you disrespecting the...
I think I was talking about going to see the movie and mocking, you know...
Oh, right. Well, I didn't take that disrespect.
And so...
I took that as being in the spirit of the thing.
So, Josh, you need to YouTube the SNL spoof Star Wars Aging Cash.
When you see Chewie in the dog cone, that was hilarious. Holy cow. I almost lost my Diet Coke on that.
Oh, that is good. That is good. All right, so that's just a blast from tonight's Culture Clash.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Yo, yo, yo. Oh, no, you didn't. 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 Oh, no, you didn't.
No,
no, no.
No, 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 no,
no,
no,
no, no,
no,
no, no, no, no,
no. Okay, Fran.
That's awesome.
We haven't done a "No, no, you didn't" for a while, but I had to. I got to do this. If you've heard this, if you haven't, it's funny. Last Friday, December 9th, the Toronto Raptors.
Maple Leafs.
It was published on December 9th. Yeah, but last Friday, the Toronto Raptors threw a fundraiser in honor of Nelson Mandela, who died a year ago.
The Raptors or the Maple Leafs?
The Raptors. They invited other Canadian athletes.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So
they're not big on hockey.
They invited their some other Canadian athletes, and one of the athletes was the Toronto Maple Leafs goalie, Jonathan Bernier, I think his name is. And they got him there in front of their little video set, and they ask him the impact that Nelson Mandela had had on his life. And let's just play the clip, because I cannot embellish.
Just wanted to ask you, I mean, obviously Nelson Mandela, one of the most significant historical figures of the 20th century. What knowledge or awareness did you have of him growing up, or when did you learn of him?
Well, obviously growing up, he's one of the most known athletes in the world, and a lot of impact in any kind of sport that he did. And that I, you know, even playing hockey, everyone knows him, right? From being the type of person that he was off the ice and on the ice. And it's unfortunate that he passed away a year ago, but you know, he changed a lot while he was with us, and he's a tremendous guy.
On the ice or off the ice, Francis. He was a tremendous guy.
What? Okay. I'm bashing the reporter, but now I got to apologize for that. Because the way he set that up, when he said one of the most historical figures of the 20th century.
Yes.
Yeah, that doesn't make him a hockey player.
Yeah, right.
Because, you know, I love hockey, grew up playing it, grew up watching it. When someone tells me most historic figure of the 20th century, I'm not guessing that's a hockey player.
Yeah.
Or even an athlete, to be quite honest. Unless we're talking Muhammad Ali. And we're not. So.
Right.
Yeah, that was brutal. Like, I was worried he was going to say, you know, it was a shame when we traded him.
Well, he said more.
Oh,
that's just
oh,
that
just
part of
it. Okay.
Yeah.
How do you not cut him off if you're the reporter?
I don't know. How do you not pull the mic back and go, hey, dude, do you not know who Mandela is? So Nelson Mandela, folks, you can't hope to stop him. You can only contain him.
He's wicked from 3 points. Wicked.
All right. I just had to do that tonight, so no, you didn't.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Size of the apocalypse. We're still laughing over our
my gosh.
Toronto Maple Leafs goalie.
I want to change my sign of the apocalypse.
Fran, our sign of the apocalypse tonight, 7 sperm whales died on a beach in
Australia,
York Peninsula, south of Vendrosen. They originally saw 5, then they noticed a 6th one, then they noticed a 7th one that beached himself and died as well. 7 sperm whales.
They're calling it one of the greatest separation events in a sperm whale community ever. I mean, these 7 got separated and somehow, but they've still not really, at least not what I've read so far, have not made it clear how they or what caused them to be separated or die.
They have 2 theories that I've read. One is that they were simply feeding and they got caught in shallow water, which doesn't make sense to me.
No.
These are not.
And these are not small animals.
They're
whales are huge.
But the other one that is that one of the animals was sick or somehow injured or in distress, went into shallow water to rest, if you will. And when the tide went to go out and he started to become stranded, made distress calls. And so then the other whales came in response to his distress call and thereby beached themselves and died. They did find an 8th whale. I mean, here's the quote. About the 8th whale that they found. The animal was very lethargic, but after some time, they managed to encourage it out into deeper water where it dived, and they haven't seen it since. We've talked about space and the ocean.
And the connection therein. It's kind of bizarre. They found, and not to freak you out, but they found a giant lake on Mars. You know, NASA just tested their vehicle that's going to carry some people to Mars in what they're considering to be the late 2020s, some point before 2030, they're gonna have a mission to Mars, and they just tested that vehicle this past week. They also discovered on the surface of Mars a giant, what they believe was a giant lake at one point that would have easily contained the elements to spark life on that planet. So. You know, is there a connection there? I don't know. There's a lot of goofy stuff going on.
I don't know. This is not. It's unprecedented for sperm whales. But they say that this is the biggest a beaching since 58 dolphins at Nepean Bay in the 1990s. So, I mean, this is not unprecedented, but it is definitely rare. It's very rare.
Yeah, it's rare amongst sperm whales to have that many separate like that.
And they're damn big animals, too, let me tell you.
Yeah, no, they're not small.
As a matter of fact, in the article I was reading, they said they're really not sure what they're going to do because these things, what was it? They weigh somewhere in the nature of 50 tons.
Yeah, I mean, what? It's not. I mean, like you just
can't drag them out,
Yeah. No, that's going to be a big deal down there.
All right, episode 74, almost in the books, Francis.
Yeah.
As we dive into December, the month of my birth. Not that has anything to do with anything. If anybody wants to send me a birthday present. But we are a week or two away from our Christmas special. I mean, I'm just getting really excited.
I can tell.
I'm just ho ho ho.
When I saw the script, I thought, no, he's got that number wrong. Oh,
he's trying to make
Christmas come early.
I'm getting all giddy.
Wait. I'm just gonna say I'm glad you people didn't have to see what I just saw.
So Santa Claus is coming to town. You better be nice. Don't be naughty.
Frank, my little Frank. Don't stop being a chooch, Frank.
Stop being a chooch. Words of wisdom from the stay-at-home dad. All right, Fran. It'll be my little grandson's second Christmas. I think he's just starting to get old enough to figure it out. Of course, you know, we tell kids, stay away from strangers, blah, 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 blah. And then we take them to the mall and say, hey, this knucklehead in this big red suit with a beard, go sit on his lap.
That guy they just dragged from behind the Weigels who was peeing on the building and put a beard on him. Yeah, go
bad
sit in his
Santa.
Lap.
All right, folks. So we're going to be back next week with episode 75. This is episode 74. I'm getting the numbers all mixed up. But glad to have you. Glad for you to join us.
Massive following now all of a sudden?
Yes, yes. We are reaching new milestones in followership.
Not Jim Jones style yet, but it's getting up there.
We're not making any Kool-Aid yet, but we're glad for every listening. So,
one of our big loyal listeners there happens to be my mother-in-law, who's a big fan of Shotgun in the News. And
we appreciate her listening. I think we were both on our best behavior when
this
it comes
one,
to,
yeah, she's...
When it comes... Even though we had a story about the F word, we did not use...
We did not use it, right. She's making a list, though. She's marking that every time you curse, so...
Well, that must be a tally sheet right there. So for her and all of our other listeners, stay safe, stay sharp, and Jonah, please say goodnight. Jonah, tell all the good people night-night.
Night-night. Night-night.
Thanks, Tony and Fran, for getting us unfiltered and unfettered.